This is the Mile High Five podcast with Carl Jensen and Doug Cunnington. We have authentic conversations about the journey to Phi, health, happiness, and some very odd tangents. We interview Phi experts, side hustlers, people on their way to Phi, and those who have reached the other side. Join us every week, and if you want the show notes and links and all that other stuff, head over to milehighfi.com.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Mile High Phi podcast. I'm Carl Jensen with my co-host.
I'm Doug Cunnington.
So, Doug, today we're catching up on some random topics. It's one of those where y'all just get to listen in as we talk about whatever is on our mind. We'll talk about recent purchases, changing our minds on something, recent books, recent TV shows, etc. Doug, what's going on?
Not too much, but I wrote this outline and intro, and I'm now realizing I could just put anything I want in there and you'll just read it verbatim, right?
I was thinking that while I was reading it because I actually did not read it ahead of time. So next time I read it, it's going to say something like I am a poo-poo pants and have nothing in my brain, something like that.
It'll be a little more clever. It'll slowly degrade and you're like, oh, wait a second. This is not what I want to read. Yeah, so this literally is one of those catch-up episodes. We have been working on the book quite a bit. So we've been seeing each other and we'll have some other separate update about the lazy book that we're working on, but we haven't been catching up on just other random stuff. So we're going to get into it and I'm going to kick it off with some recent purchases. And a number of these were just like little conveniences that I didn't realize that I should take care of for a very cheap price. So one of them is a camera strap. So I have a couple cameras around here and I do a very small amount of like freelance photography and stuff. You had me take some erotic photos of you not too long ago, which was lovely. And I have a nice camera strap that's a little bit wider and it's foam and it's an upgrade from like the normal camera. We're going to post the photos so everybody can get it. I know people are thinking, hey, where can I see these erotic photos of Carl? It'll be on the OnlyFans. We'll put a link for it.
I'm so thankful that you let us use your sex dungeon on the other side of your basement for those photos too. Thank you so much, Doug.
A lot of it was like the scene, you know, like you wanted to recreate something really specific and I hope I was able to deliver.
It was great. It's kind of like a Pulp Fiction. If you've ever seen the basement scene, I guess, no, it wasn't like that.
No,
it was,
no.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
God, this went downhill quickly.
Yeah. This is how we usually catch up.
Yeah.
Yeah. A quick observation. That's one of your go-tos, but don't use that one if you're involved in it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no good scenario.
I realized that as I was saying it. I'd kind of forgotten what happened in the scene, but then it came to me as the words were coming out of my mouth. And yeah, it was nothing like that.
Strong opening for us. I got a new camera strap. So the thing is, I had one nice camera strap and I was moving it from like one camera to another because like I said, it's a little foamy, it's a little bit wider and more comfortable. And I've had it for like, no joke, like 25 or 27 years or something like that. So they last. And I was thinking, oh, you know, I don't know if I'm going to use that camera because I'm going to have to move the strap and blah, blah, blah. It turns out you could buy a new strap these days for like $13, something like that. So it was super inexpensive. It showed up the next day and it was something that I was like spending time on every time I was moving the strap from camera to camera, thinking I needed to do that. So super easy to solve that problem. And your next photo shoot, Carl, is going to go even smoother.
Oh, I can't wait.
What about you for a recent purchase?
So I bought a new set of noise canceling headphones. Does noise annoy you, Doug?
It does all the time. Yeah. Like at the gym and like there's sometimes some really loud people in there, loud classes and stuff, but yeah, noise canceling. Great.
Yes. So Doug, that's a funny story. You and I were at the gym and there was the one guy in the spin class yelling like his life was coming to an end. Remember that?
Oh my gosh. It was like triggering me because it was like, why is like someone's being assaulted in the other room? And it was like a whole class of people getting assaulted by this dude screaming at the top of his lungs. He was going nuts, man. Like other people were like laughing and looking and they're like, what the fuck is this guy yelling about?
Yeah, it was crazy. I don't ever want to take that guy's class because I'll probably need therapy or something after I'm done, all that yelling. But anyway, my kid got new noise-canceling headphones for Christmas. She got these Beats Pro Studio things. They were on like clearance at Costco. So I tried them on. I'm like, holy cow, these are way better than the ones I already have, which are 2 or 3 years old. So I went out and got a pair for myself. And I'm so fancy, Doug. I use the new ones for everything but working out. So now my old ones are just for working out. So for sweaty and nasty work and stuff like that. So I actually have 2 pairs. How bougie am I? Are you judging me right now?
No, I have like a pair of AirPods like for inside, and then I have like AirPod Pros for other stuff. So yeah, I mean, same deal. I just got an extra pair and I use them for certain things, like after the old models got pretty old. Yeah. So next one on my list is a little frugality. So I put up a pretty strong front of like, oh, I don't mind spending, but I still have the frugal gene. And one of those is coupons. And we get those flyers in the mail, you know, and they just send it to like, you know, every address in the zip code or whatever. And there's a restaurant called Culver's. And for people that don't know, I think they're out of Wisconsin, right?
Yes. Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
And they make like butter burgers, right? Yes. And they're like a smash burger style. And they have a bunch of like different fried things as well, including cheese curds, which yep. I thought were fantastic. Anyway, we got a couple coupons. One of them was for like 2 burgers for the price of 1, buy one, get one. And then the other one was for their cement mixer, which is a dessert. It's like a blizzard type thing. And I'm a sucker for all that stuff. So unhealthy. It doesn't go along with like our next episode, which is a fitness update and health update, but I've been putting it off and I fucking love burgers like that and all the fried foods. So the thing is, you can't use both coupons on the same ticket. So I think you know where I'm going with this. I was like, Elizabeth, you go first, you order the cement mixer and then I'll go next. And she was a little nervous. She's like, oh no, like they're gonna figure us out. And I'm like, the high school student doesn't give a fuck. He won't even know we're together, right? Anyway, so a couple of weeks ago, we ran that scam on Culver's.
That's awesome. What did you get in your cement mixer?
I think I had a chocolate ice cream base, and I think I got Oreos. You know, classic, pretty standard. On the other one, it was because it was like buy one, get one of that as well. And I think the other one was a vanilla base with Reese's. So again, just classic flavors.
Ah, their custard is so good. My favorite thing there is their turtle sundae, which is vanilla custard. And then you have hot fudge and pecans on top. Oh, so good.
Mm. And I could eat, that's probably a place I could eat just about every day and I'd be happy.
And their food is good and their service is good too. Like they're nice and they don't F things up like Taco Bell. If you go there, the place is a disaster. Like Culver's is on top of it.
Yeah. And they let you use these 2 coupons. So that's a little pro hack.
Nice.
What's your next purchase?
My next purchase is I bought a new speaker bar with a subwoofer. I had moved the other one to our rental house and the rental is a furnished rental. So I wanted to make sure everything is in there. So I moved my older, crappier Vizio one over to there and bought a new Polk Audio one for the house, which Ooh. Is pretty cool. It came with this big ass subwoofer. I like my bass, Doug, and this produces.
Gotcha. Was it like a considerable upgrade over the other one? Like you could really tell right away?
Yeah, I think so. It was probably twice as much. And just the audio, besides the bass, the sound is a lot better and maybe not quite as high and tinny. I like good audio reproduction.
Mm-hmm. You ever notice, especially like streaming services where you try to turn the volume up, but it's like there's some artificial max and you're at the very max for your television or your soundbar or whatever, and it still doesn't get louder? Have you noticed that?
Yes. This one actually goes to 11. So if you're at 10 and you just need a little bit more, you can hit it one more and boom, you're at 11. You don't need to go there that often, but it's there if you need it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Next one for me, again, on the frugality route so people can make fun of me. And folks, when you see me at economy or whatever, I'm going to be wearing these new shoes that I got. The thing is, when you find a pair of shoes that fit and you don't have to break them in and they just, you know, they're made for your foot, you want to get more of those. And I found a nice pair, a nice brand that seems to have like the right size toe box and it just feels right. It's a brand called Oboz and they're out of Bozeman, Montana. Funny enough, I never got any of those shoes when I lived in Bozeman, but I picked up some here locally, and they fit great. And I wore them for about a year, and you know, it's time to get new shoes. I wore them until there were like holes in them. I mean, clearly I needed to get new shoes. Anyway, what I do, I go on eBay, I'll save a search, I'll find whatever I need, the right size, all the details, right? And what you need to do is favorite the listing. And what happens is, usually without fail, you'll get an offer like the next day or two from the seller. It's like, hey, save 10%, save 15%. They're trying to move these, right? They're sitting on inventory. And then I'll send back a counter offer a little bit lower, so you can get like even more of a discount. It's great. These were brand new shoes in the box, and they retail for like $135 or so. And I think after shipping, I paid like $85, something like that. So pretty good discount overall. And they showed up like just a couple days later. I know they fit. I don't need to try them on. It's the same size, same brand, all those details. But the key thing is like, favorite it, and then it shows up on the seller's dashboard, and they'll send you some offer typically.
Okay, cool. That's a good tip. Are these shoes made in Bozeman too, or?
No.
Okay.
No. Just the company's there. I think they design them there or something like that, but like probably 99% of the shoes that we get, they're made in like China or overseas somewhere. Yeah. Indonesia, I'm not sure.
No, that's too bad. Maybe someday Melanzana will start a shoe business.
Maybe.
My last purchase, and this one again was inspired by you. We've had this conversation a couple times, although maybe not on the air. You inspired me to try poke. I never know how to say that word. Enlighten me, Doug.
I usually say pokey, but I think that's wrong.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, I had poke in Hawaii on Doug's recommendation. And the first time it was a little bit weird, maybe slightly queasy because I've never eaten anything raw before except a vegetable. But I tried it and I thought it was pretty good. So I decided to try it again. And every time I tried it again, I liked it a little bit more. So now it's kind of become my default when I go to a restaurant, because usually I eat like shit. Well, let's have a cheeseburger and fries because we're paying for food. I'm not going to order a salad. But poke, or however you say that word, is a great compromise because I can actually be healthy and eat well. And there's a new Japanese place that opened up at the mall, like Bowl Akazawa, something like that. I know I'm completely butchering whatever it's supposed to be called, but it's great. And I had seared ahi tuna poke, and it's like $15 or $16, and you get a bunch of like vegetables in there. So I actually feel good about it because it's something that's healthy, but actually tastes good too, which is hard to find. You know, like broccoli is great for you, but it tastes like shit. Like, does anyone actually like the taste of it? I don't think so. Or like Brussels sprouts, those are horrible unless you put them in like maple syrup and bacon, but then you've defeated the healthy purpose of them. So I don't know. It's a great compromise, this poke.
Yeah, I love that stuff. And I know at your house, you have some specific like food choices in the family, but you could make a great vegan or vegetarian version of it for the whole family, right?
I could. My kids probably wouldn't touch it, and Mindy probably wouldn't either, but it's very difficult at home, Doug. We'll talk about this in the fitness episode, but there is no Venn diagram overlap. There are four of us, and none of us overlap at all in any of our diets, except that we all like ice cream and cookies, and that doesn't do anyone any good.
Go to Culver's. It's amazing. Okay. So we have a sponsor for today's show, and it's our friends over at Ghostbed. So Rich, one of our listeners, one of our friends, he'll actually be at Economy as well. He was like, hey man, you guys want to check out some stuff from Ghostbed? And we were into it. So we actually have tested some stuff out. And Carl, you have a new development.
Yes. Mindy and I, we have a guest room and we had an inflatable mattress in there, and inflatable mattresses kind of suck. So we decided to get a mattress, and we actually haven't ordered it yet, but I was looking at the Ghostbed site and I saw they have four different mattresses on there. So later this week, we are going to order one, and I'm not sure how long it's going to take to arrive, but maybe Doug, once it arrives, we should have a sleepover and we can both test it simultaneously. Like we could take notes on it, and then we could compare notes after we're done. And Again, we'll have to put that demarcation line down the middle. I don't want you invading my side like what happened at the last economy. But yeah, what do you think about that idea, Doug?
I think that's great. Okay. Yeah, awesome. Sign me up.
Okay. Should I get the vibrating one or the normal one?
I think we should definitely test it out.
Okay.
Vibrating one. Yeah. The Got massager. It. Dual massager. There's a ton of different options there. So you mentioned there's, I guess, did you mention different varieties? But basically there's an RV one as well. So there's like thinner
yes.
ones. Yeah. What'd you find?
Yeah. The RV one is the thin one. I think that one is 7 inches. And then and I think that one's made to be more compact and probably, yeah, like it says, for an RV. And then they have thicker ones. And I know they all have different properties as far as cooling and firmness. So I'm looking for one that is cool and that is plush. I don't like a stiff mattress.
And they have a ton of different options, not just for the mattresses, but they have adjustable bases, they have pillows, they have sheets, all the fixings that one might need to sleep. And it's a family-owned business with 20 years of experience, over 60,000 five-star reviews, and patented sleep and cooling technology.
Yeah, the cooling stuff is super important to me, so I can't wait to try that out. It would be really nice to have a mattress that would allow me to ditch the cooling pad that I have.
And Carl, you're going to be able to test it out for 101 nights because they have a at-home sleep trial and a 20-plus year warranty, which is double the industry standard. Carl, where can they go to check out details?
Yeah, so we actually have a special link. They can go to ghostbed.com/milehighfi with code milehighfi at checkout, and you'll get a jaw-dropping 50% off site-wide. So that's 50% off everything. That's almost amazing as finding a cure for asparagus pee.
Next up, we're going to talk about some things that we changed our mind on. So, Carl, why don't you open this up?
Yeah, so I had an interesting week. I think it was last week. I own about 1,000 shares of Facebook. It used to be 2,000, but I've since sold some off. But it had the best day that any stock has ever had in the history of the stock market. The market capitalization of the stock went up $197 billion, which is pretty crazy, right? No other stock has had a day like that. Despite this, I'm not excited about holding stocks. And up until that, I wasn't excited about holding Facebook. You think of all the social networks that have come and gone just in the past decade or two decades. Do you remember MySpace? Did you have an account on there?
Yeah.
And then there was Friendster, and was Foursquare one of them? So there's all these. And like my kids, I tell them about Facebook and they're like, man, that's for old people. There's no way I'm ever going on that. So it was probably one of the stocks I wanted to sell more than anything else. But now it's at all-time highs, which is pretty crazy. So the debate that's going on in my head, and that's been going on for probably the past 5 or 10 years, Doug, is I really do think it's the right thing to move from individual stocks to index funds, but how do I do it? If you would have asked me before this happened, I would have said, oh, I need to get rid of all my Facebook first. But if I would have done that, I would have missed out on these big gains. So like, what the heck do I do? And what I finally came to, and this isn't so much changing my mind, but coming to a solution about how I'm going to get rid of all these stocks, is the answer was there pretty much all along. I just need to do it like an index fund. I'll just sell equal amounts of all these things and not try to pick, in this case, the loser. With an index fund, if you don't believe in that, you're trying to pick a winner all the time. And what I was trying to do with these stocks is pick the loser to sell. But is that any easier than trying to pick which one is going to win? And I don't think it is. I think I'm so smart. But then here's Facebook at all-time highs, and my Google and Tesla stock aren't doing so hot. So my big takeaway is I'm just going to sell an equal percentage of all these things and not look back, not think about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It makes perfect sense. Is there a specific name for this?
I don't think so. I call it a reverse index fund or an index fund in reverse. So I actually just did my first sale where I just sold 2% of every single holding I have.
Cool. Let's name it. And it may already be named, but this is the opposite of dollar cost averaging, right?
Yes.
So we should call it like dollar gain averaging or dollar, what's the inverse?
Dollar cost averaging. I don't know. equal weight diminishing, equal weight sales? I have no clue.
Or it's not cost, it's like profit or something, because cost is like you're spending something, so you're selling something, so is it a gain? Anyway, the point is you should name it, and then you'll be known for that thing. So let's talk about it. We can name it, title your blog post that way, and then you go around and we can get you on another podcast, and you're like, I had this problem, I have too much money, like an asshole, right? That's a great pitch. And then you're like, I figured out how to get rid of it so that I, because the problem is you were emotionally trying to make a decision and you're like, I just need a plan that I can stick to where I don't have to think about it and make a decision and agonize like every week or every month or whatever, right?
Yeah, that's a great idea, Doug. And I think I know what I want to name it. I want it to be the initials of my name. Like we'll find some way to go with our name. I think we've had this conversation before on the podcast where, do you know where I'm going with this, Doug?
Probably,
yeah. Yeah. If you look up Hot Carl on Urban Dictionary, kids, if you're listening, don't do this. And something bad comes up, I'll just say that. But I want to own that. So this maneuver will be called a Hot Carl. But now I got to think of words for HOTCARL. So I want to retake that term and not have it be the filthy thing that it currently is.
Take that back over. Yeah. We'll workshop this because I think they're different audiences, luckily. Well, that's cool. I'm glad you figured it out. And it's a good solution. It's just, like you said, you're flipping it upside down and solving a different problem with the same strategy.
Yes. I'm just sick of thinking about stocks for hours of my life every day. If I were rid of them, I could use my brain for other things. I don't have that much brain width. To begin with, so I need all the help I can get.
Awesome. Okay. So here's something I've changed my mind about. For a few years, I've been very interested in Peter Attia and his podcast. Some of our early conversations were around Peter and his, I guess, guest spots on other shows. Same with Huberman, and listened to a lot of their podcasts over the years. And to me, it shifted in the last year. They represent like over optimization. And I've heard several people recently mention like, oh, if it gets measured, then it gets managed. And I'm thinking, I don't want to manage more stuff, right? Like we're in a certain spot where like, we're trying not to over optimize. We're trying to be more intentional about being lazy and idle and stuff. So I think what Attia and Huberman were sharing or are sharing, it's like a little too much for me, and I can't keep going along with it. I just stopped listening to them because I'm like, I mean, it gets really deep and there's some value in that. Obviously, they're like some of the top podcasts in the world, so people want to hear that. It's just not me. And I was doing a couple things. I'll give you a couple examples. And don't get me wrong, there's a ton of value from it. But I think like a book or a documentary or something, but really books, like if you can get one or two valuable things, it's fantastic. But you can't take all of it because there's going to be some pieces that don't work for you. And I found that out. So here's an example. I started taking like the sleep supplements that Huberman recommended. And I think they helped out. I've gone off and on to see if it actually did help, but I think it kind of helped out. And I think some of those maybe I just needed anyway, like maybe I wasn't getting enough magnesium or whatever. But the thing is, at some point, those supplements became like a psychological crutch where if I was on vacation or if I was running out and I'm like, oh, I didn't have my magnesium or I didn't have my apigenin, I'm like, oh, I'm probably not going to sleep as well. Getting in my own head, even though maybe it didn't matter at all. And there's a number of things, right? Like Huberman's like, go out, get sunlight first thing in the day. Well, if you're in a high latitude, you may not have that opportunity for like 6 months of the year, right? Like the sun doesn't come up. So like, what do you do then? It's like, oh, stand in front of a light and all this other shit, which maybe helps out. But at some point I was just like, I've had enough. Like I don't need to over-optimize. I'm in a pretty good spot right now. And if I add more stuff, it's just like complicating things. So that's where I'm at. I'll pause here for a second. And I have an example where Atiya, like, he was talking about something for a few years, and then he like did an about face, completely changed what he was talking about. So before I go on to that, what do you think about over-optimization?
Wow, that's a big question. And are you specifically referring to over-optimization with health stuff and fitness, or?
Let's focus on that for this conversation, because that's kind of what I'm talking about. But it really, it applies to, it can be elsewhere too.
With health and fitness, I think the issue is that this stuff is so difficult, like for diets, what works for one person might not work for someone else. So I think it's might be a bit presumptuous to give advice that's going to work for everyone. And some very basic advice might be better. Like if you eat broccoli over bacon, you're going to be better off. But the whole optimization thing is, after a while, you spend so much time working on optimization that you've actually de-optimized other parts of your life because you're so focused on thinking about the optimization part that I think it hurts you in other places. And I think about this with myself, like trying to optimize every moment of my life. And then you get caught up in your own head, and then it screws you up in other anticipated ways. I'm trying to think, like with me, I'm like, okay, I've got this to do between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. and I don't want to go to Home Depot now because there's traffic, and I don't want to go there by itself because that's a silly waste. So where else do I have to go? And then I've been thinking about this for 20 minutes, and then I'm like, why? You should just shut the hell up and go to Home Depot and go get your trim or whatever. But with the health stuff, I think I'm skeptical of some of their claims as well. I think some of them are good. So to really optimize for some of the things they're saying, I think is kind of silly. I think people would be best served by maybe trying some of that stuff out, but really, really paying attention to yourself and finding out what works for you. Like for sleep, one example I could think of is I found something that works great for me for sleep. And I don't know if I've ever heard it mentioned, like everyone's like, avoid the blue light and that kind of thing. And I don't know, that doesn't bother me at all. I can go to sleep after looking at my iPad. And I think that's one of the things Peter Attia actually changed his mind about recently. So I don't know, that was a long rambling answer, but I have no idea if I answered even what you asked or what the question was.
Gosh, I don't know either. But the thing is, I want people to leave comments or shoot us emails, because like the thing is, again, these are some of the most popular podcasts in the world. So certainly I'm ruffling feathers, or maybe there's some other people that feel that way too. So I'm really curious, and I'll give this specific example. And this is I'm just setting up a straw man to knock down here, but I think it actually demonstrates the point that it's really hard to understand what to follow, because there's so many, like we could find someone else who's equally qualified saying the opposite thing, probably for anything. Everyone has their agenda. Like these guys are selling supplements or some other kind of shit, right? Like they're all selling something, right? So we can't ignore the incentives that we know that they have, right? Like we pretend like they don't, but they have incentives too. All right. Atiya, in an interview with Tim Ferriss, and you guys can go and check this. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but Atiya was talking about a compound called metformin. So this is a quote. My baseline view was that in this case, I had been taking metformin since 2010. And then he says in 2018, he changed his mind since there was more research to go along with his personal experience. In another podcast, Peter was super convincing and explained all the benefits of metformin and why he was taking it. And he completely changed his mind after 8 years. And I'm not saying any of the things that he said before that or since then or at any point in time is correct or incorrect, but it's just an example, because these guys have research. They're referencing really good material. They're doing their homework. And I don't think there's anything malicious. They're just like, here is what research says, and here's how you can distill it down, and here's what I'm telling you. It doesn't mean they're not going to get more data in a few years and be like, actually, this is different than what we thought, and it makes all the hair fall off your body. That's just a weird example, but you get the point. Have you heard any stuff where you're like, I don't know if that actually worked out?
Is that what happened to you? Is that why you don't have hair on the top of your head or the metformin?
It wasn't that, but you know, it did fall out. So
I know Peter Attia also went back on his intermittent fasting. Like he went back on the whole cellular apophagy thing. I think that's how you say that word. And that's where he said, if you intermittent fast, if you give your body a rest from digestion, your body will change its processes and start to consume old cells and do these processes that will help your body out. And I think within the past year or two, he had a thing that he specifically said intermittent fasting might still have value, but that was the main thing that he would always say had added value, and he changed his mind on that. He said that he doesn't think that's a thing anymore.
And it's just like calorie restriction, right?
Yes. So if it causes you to eat less and lose weight, that's great. Become fitter, but there's not that cellular process going on that he mentioned before.
I'll talk a little bit more about fasting in our next episode, Fitness and Health. But I used to do the same thing and like, hey, you got to check out intermittent fasting. But I realized that I like eating more, and I'll explain more in the other episode, but I changed my mind too. And I mean, the thing is, it's awesome that they're changing their minds because they're getting new information and telling us about it. And they're like not stubborn and sticking to the past. So I commend them for like saying, hey, I fucked up and I was wrong about this. And here's the new information we have. Here's why I changed my mind. So, I mean, I still listen to the guys occasionally, but I'm just like, okay, everything with a grain of salt and new data could pop up anytime they're doing more research, right?
Yeah.
So
there's one other beef I have with them, and we've both talked about this Huberman episode before, where he said if you cool like your palms, you'll introduce cooling into your body and you'll be able to like, he made crazy claims like you'll be able to increase the amount of pull-ups or push-ups by like 50%. Do you remember that one, Doug?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I shared it with like the group in our Discord, and yeah, I was like, oh yeah, like someone let me know what you find.
Yeah. So I'm like, this is amazing. And so like the next day I'm like, I'm going to try this. And I did the exact same. And there could be other factors involved. Maybe the people he was doing this experiment on were closer to their extremes where I wasn't. Maybe I just wasn't going as hard as them. But if you back up a little bit, it's a really horribly constructed experiment. Like a good experiment should be double blind, right? And there's no way to double blind that experiment. And the whole thing, listening to it, just sounded pretty crazy and ridiculous. And I don't know. I guess I should go back and listen to it again to see where he got this from, because I don't think he does all these experiments himself. There's such a variety of them. He has to be, it's all meta. He's pulling them from other people, but it just sounded crazy. And I don't think you should discount someone just from that one thought, just because they're wrong on something. They still could have a lot of value, but it does make me skeptical of other claims. And some of them, they seem so black and white, like the alcohol one, which I agree with for the most part, like there's no safe amount of alcohol. But I think he said something like you have to stop drinking for like 8 weeks or 10 weeks or something like that. And it's an all or nothing thing. If you have any drink in between then, you've reset yourself. You have to be completely dry. And that doesn't jive well with me. I don't think the human body works that way. Like what happens after 8 weeks?
We got to ask why like a few times, and then it's like, okay, is that a real thing or not? Yeah.
Yeah. I think for the most part, if you listen to these guys and do what they say, you'll be healthier, but listen with skepticism too and do what works for you. The thing I've often thought about all this stuff is like most people, I could write a book on fitness. I'm going to write this, but I'll read it off to you right now, the book in its entirety right now. So you don't even have to buy it. Drink less beer, eat less red meat, get more sleep and eat more vegetables. If you just did that, you're going to be in better shape. Mm.
It's riveting.
Yeah.
I'm going to give one other quick example. There's a YouTube channel called Goal Guys, a couple Canadian brothers. You ever watch that channel?
No.
Pop up? So they talk a lot about health and fitness and some other stuff, and they'll do like a challenge for like a month or a week or 6 months or whatever. So one guy went on a fast mimicking diet for, I think he was going to do, say, 90 days. I don't remember how long it was, but it was a pretty good chunk of time. And he was trying to reduce his age based on like blood markers and other metrics like that. So he used some service. They took blood and did some other tests, and his age was like his biological age was like, or tested age. I don't know how they call it, right? But basically it was like 2 or 3 years younger than how old he really was. He's in good shape, right? He works out, eats pretty healthy, pretty balanced, gets rest, all this stuff. So he's pretty healthy, a couple years younger than what his actual age is based on the blood markers. He went on the fast mimicking diet for a little while, and like his workout suffered. He didn't have motivation. Like he just felt bad, but he was really hoping that he could like move his age down a couple age based on the blood markers and the other details. After he did it, the results, I'm going to spoil the video, the results were worse. He actually went up. He stressed his body. He did talk to a dietitian and someone qualified, right? In the middle of it. And they said, well, the study that everyone is referencing was actually done on like obese people that were really unhealthy. So like, if you're already in good shape and you're stressing your body by limiting all the calories, and I think he went down to say, I don't know, 900 calories a day or something for 5 days a week or something like that. He was just really hungry and irritable, and he couldn't work out as well and had no motivation, and it like destroyed his blood markers. So he ended up being like a couple years older than he actually was. So it was a complete reverse. The point being, you may see a video or hear people talk and be like, yeah, this fast mimicking diet really worked out well, but we don't know who they did the study on. And it turned out like he was in great shape. He was doing what he needed to do. He didn't need to like try and starve himself for 90 days. So
I smell a sequel to our book called The Lazy Diet or The Culver's Diet. Maybe we can get them to sponsor it.
That would be awesome. It's just cheese, curds, and a lot of other dairy.
Oh my God, Doug. You know how Tim Ferriss has all the 4-hour books, like The 4-Hour Chef, 4-Hour Body? We could have The Lazy Body, The Lazy Diet.
Oh, that's actually pretty good.
Man.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Our book of lazy advice, it'll just be a bunch of empty pages.
Yeah. It's really a journal. You fill it out. Do it yourself. All right. Cool. Anything else on changing your mind on stuff?
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay. We have a Buy Me a Coffee page where we share a little extra content over there. And it's just like the big supporters, and it helps us produce the show. It costs money to do the editing and the lighting and the other stuff. And we're just trying to break even. And typically what we do, we just buy a bunch of t-shirts and stickers and give it out to people, or we get a bunch of beer and give it out to people. So we're not like paving our driveways with gold based on the Buy Me a Coffee stuff. We usually just give this stuff away. Carl, you haven't posted over there in a little while. You're due for an update. What kind of stuff do you post?
No, I have to. I think I've got a draft going on there, and I think it was going to be a big thank you for supporters. And I had some other stuff in there, and then I got distracted and didn't finish it. But yeah, I think what we're going to do is, we don't talk a super lot about some of the events and some of the things we're going to be doing. So that was what was going to be part of it. Like, come meet us at events, and we'll have t-shirts. We've got stickers. We have a bunch of them laying around here. Maybe some extra beer tickets for our supporters. Mm-hmm. And some of the other events we're going to be at, I think we might show up at a campfire too. So I was going to tell people about that and some of the meetups that we're going to have at HQ.
Cool. Yeah. And we'll be at Economy. We'll be doing the opening party. So that's the reference to the drink tickets, which we'll have a few extra. Because the thing is, you and I are trying not to get hammered on the first night. Rookie mistake. You would say that till the last night. All right. So I've been reading a shitload in the last little bit. And last year, 2023, I read 53 books.
Nice.
Quite a lot. Mostly picture books. You know, these are 8 to 12 age, you know, so I could kind of blast through them. But I read a lot. And Carl, you're an avid reader as well, right?
Yeah, I love to read.
So we're going to go through a couple of the books that we read. And I got a new Kindle. My wife gave me the Oasis version, which is kind of nice. Our friend JT, who's been on the show, he was like, yeah, I got an Oasis. It's really cool. I told Elizabeth about it, not thinking too much of it. And then she surprised me with one, which is great because I use the Kindle every single day. I read usually fiction before I go to bed. And when you get a new Kindle, you often get an offer for Kindle Unlimited. Have you ever gotten that Kindle Unlimited?
We have a subscription right now.
Cool. It's great, depending on what you want to read, but there's a lot of variety there. And I've been reading a lot of sort of sci-fi, like near future kind of stuff. And I'll just rattle off a couple of the authors here. So A.J. Riddle, Paul McGowan, Bobby Achart, and the other one, which I have a Libby app, which links up to our library here. And I've read a few Reacher books, which is pretty awesome. Did you get into Jack Reacher?
I have. I've read two of his books and they were great. I think I read the second and the third one. I don't know why I didn't start with number one, but there you have it.
And I think I've read like a dozen of them or something like that. So pretty fun, pretty enjoyable. And I've reread 4,000 Weeks like while we've been writing our book a little bit. So that's Oliver Berkman. Yeah, what have you been reading?
Cool. I reread Hearts in Atlantis, which is a Stephen King book. Have you read that one before?
No, I don't know that one.
It's probably my favorite piece of fiction of all time. It has five shorter stories. Stephen King tends to be very lengthy, but some of it ties into his Dark Tower, which like his main, that's like kind of the core of his work. And a lot of his other books like The Stand all have callbacks to the Dark Tower, which is pretty cool. That one takes a long time to get through. That is seven books with like 7,000 words
pages.
Yeah. 7,000 pages, 7,000 words wouldn't be too bad. That'd be like one of your picture books, one of your expanded picture books. So I reread that. I'm reading Ready Player Two now. Have you seen Ready Player One, Doug, the movie, or read the book?
I read both of those books. Yep.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I'm in the middle of Ready Player Two right now. As far as nonfiction, I am reading E equals MC squared about that famous equation. Did you learn about that equation in school?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, right?
And it pops up a lot in the near future sci-fi books. A lot of it has to do with like relativity and like time travel and other bullshit.
Yeah. It's super amazing. Energy and mass are interchangeable. Do you remember what the C stands for?
Speed of light.
Is that right? Yeah. Speed of light squared. So that is a big number. And that's why nuclear bombs are so powerful. And then I'm reading The Comfort Crisis.
How do you like that one?
It's okay so far. Nothing mind blowing. The stories are good, but it's what you expect. You need to be uncomfortable to grow and all that shit. So like, I don't know if I'll get much out of it, but it's still a fun read. Like his stories are good, but it's like, you need to be cold. You need to be hungry. Like go climb mountains in your underwear and all that type of shit.
I think it's like you got to read the book at the right time for you. Because I was recommended a couple books and I've heard of this book. And I was like, I don't think that's right for me right now. We're writing the book on lazy and like trying to turn down your drive, basically. And it's not the right time for me to read books where it's like, yeah, push yourself for like, the obstacle is blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, well, I mean, we already did that. And like, there'll be other obstacles. Like, I don't have to fucking manufacture this headache here.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Like the Comfort Crisis at this point, I know I'm going into it reinforcing my own biases, but hopefully there's something else I'll gain from it as well. Some specific actionable information, but maybe there won't be, who knows.
And keep in mind, I'm the same person who was like, oh yeah, I'm going to get a new camera strap so it'll feel softer on my shoulder. So, all right. I mean, I get it.
And I got noise canceling headphones because they canceled the noise like 2% better than my old ones.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe we need that book right now. And the more you think you don't need the book, the more you do need the book.
Maybe we should record the next podcast naked in a blizzard outside in your backyard.
Yeah. We won't show a video for that. So we could just be like lounging around in the same spot we always record.
Yeah,
no one will know.
It's going to be awesome.
All right. So, Carl, you always say that you don't watch too much TV, but I think you mean you don't watch like normal, like traditional TV, but you stream just like any other person in the world, right?
Well, I didn't used to until pretty recently, actually. And this speaks to something bigger, Doug. We keep on talking about, we've talked a lot about optimization and maybe de-optimization, but what I found is there's ways, and this all feeds back into our book, which is, writing this has taught me a lot about myself, and I think there's a lot of things that you can de-optimize in your life that actually optimize stuff. And these fiction, these TV shows, the reason I'm watching them is, so I'll back up a second. If you would have asked me 2 years ago to watch a fiction TV show, I would have been like, screw you, that's a waste of time. I should be reading a book about economics or the comfort crisis or something that I think will help myself. And I would read those before bed, and then it would take me like an hour and a half to fall asleep because my mind was so wound up and I was thinking about this book. But then I found we started watching The Big Bang Theory, and I'm like, the thing I noticed is, man, I'm falling asleep like within moments after this is turned off. Within like 15 minutes, I'm asleep. And that never happens, Doug. Like, I'm not the type of person who ever falls asleep on a plane or in a car. Like, I have to be in my bed and conditions have to be perfect. But then I found out that watching these fiction shows actually helped my sleep greatly. So I'm optimizing my sleep by de-optimizing something else.
Great observation. And I think I've heard this explained a couple of different ways too. I think maybe like Derek Sivers and maybe Rolf Potts on the Tim Ferriss podcast have mentioned something like, you don't want to, like, you're not going to want to optimize a really nice meal when you're on vacation in Italy and be like, all right, let's get in, let's get out of there, and like, let's go see the other sites. Like, you want to sit and enjoy the meal. It's literally inefficient for you to do that. And that's why you're doing it. So I could see this being a benefit in many different ways. If you sit around and watch TV like 8 hours a day, right? Like, that's different. And I don't think either of us do that.
Yeah. Something else I was thinking about is optimization is kind of like what Ramit Sethi says about money. And what he says is probably his core value is you should spend on what's really important to you, but then be super frugal and cut expenses on everything else that you don't care about. And it's, I think the same thing goes for optimization. You should really optimize certain parts of your life, but you got to be careful because if you're just trying to be the 4-hour blah, blah, blah with everything in your life, I think you're going to miss out on a lot of stuff. And I think you need to figure out where to optimize and where not to optimize. And I think, at least for my parts of the book, that's going to be one of the core messages.
So what TV shows have you been watching?
I've been watching Ted Lasso. We just started that, which is a mindless. I don't want to say mindless. It's a great show, but it's easy fiction. You're not going to cry or get yourself worked up over it. I've been rewatching some of South Park, which is I forgot how dirty it is. Have you watched that show in a while? Or?
Not some of the older episodes, but I know how dirty it is. I've been watching. We have Paramount Plus right now. We've been watching some of their short movies. They're about an hour long. Have you started watching those?
No, I have not.
I'll hook you up with a login. They're hilarious. They're even dirtier. Like, there was like full frontal nudity on one of them.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You'll love it.
No. The one I watched, my kid is like, oh yeah, I heard we should watch this. This is funny. So it was when one of the characters decides to become, Mr. Garrison decides to become a woman, and then they depict sexual acts with him. And I can't even go any farther than that, but my kid's sitting next to him. I'm like, oh my God, what are we watching? This is so weird and uncomfortable. She's covering up her eyes. I'm like, okay, we're going to turn this off and watch Pee Wee Herman or some shit.
Yeah. Yeah. South Park is great. It's so awesome. I don't know if the old episodes are on Paramount or if it's just like the new ones. I'm not 100% sure, but you know, another one in that sort of vein is Beavis and Butthead, which those are on Paramount Plus, and there's new episodes. Did you know that?
Yes. I think we watched a little bit of one while we were working on the book. You showed me a clip.
Oh yeah. And there's a couple episodes where they're like grown up and, you know, they're adults, and it's pretty funny.
Do they act like us as adults? Or?
Unfortunately, it's closer than what our spouses would hope for.
Oh man, this might hit a little too close to home. I can't watch it with Mindy, who I'm guessing the Beavis and Butthead viewership is probably like 99.99% male.
I don't know. I just know what I like, and I think it's good. All right, so I'll hit a couple of mine too. So I've been watching a show called Upload, and it's on Amazon. Have you heard of this show, Carl?
I have not.
You got to check it out. It's pretty good. So it's produced by, I think, the executive producer of The Office, and he's done a lot of other shows, and people that worked on the team there have done other shows that I think we both like. So the premise for Upload is basically like when you're about to die, you can upload your consciousness to a computer and you keep living on, but it's not free. So you have to like it's kind of like a retirement home. So like the bandwidth and like the everything costs a little money. So there's like some like economy class or some high class stuff, but it's all about like the near future and like living forever via like essentially a simulation. And it's funny, like The Office would be.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah. So is this, it sounds kind of like a heavy show, but you said it's funny. So what is it? It's a comedy or?
Yeah, it's a comedy.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's, but it covers like tough topics, like just like South Park and Beavis and Butthead.
Okay. So are people uploaded into like a robot or what are they uploaded into?
It just lives like on a hard drive simulation.
Oh man, that's pretty weird.
Yeah. So I won't like spoil anything for you, but there's like the ability for like your family to visit you and stuff like that. And yeah, it is like a retirement home, except it is like in air quotes, like on the cloud or like on a hard drive simulation.
Okay. This is bringing a thought into my mind, but I'll tell you after the show, it's an interesting one, but it's even too foul for our show.
And the other show on Amazon, and I know you got a couple more to mention, but the other one on Amazon is Reacher. So there's actually a series, like there's two seasons, and this character plays a wonderful Reacher versus like, there's a couple movies with Tom Cruise, who's just a little guy, you know? Yeah. He's too small, right? This dude on the Amazon version, he's huge. He looks like a linebacker. Like he fits the part of Reacher and it's acted really well. And I really like a mini series over a movie typically, because you could have a more complex story arc.
Okay. Is it true to the books or is it its own separate story?
It's true, pretty true to the books. Yeah. They take a couple liberties here and there, but for whatever specific book it's about, they hold pretty true to it.
Okay, cool. Yeah. The only other thing I have on here was I rewatched the Dune movie in preparation for the sequel that's coming out. And I think I probably asked you about this already, Doug, like you've never read the book or seen the movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I missed the boat on this. Like I, apparently it was very popular and people cared about it and I didn't know.
Yeah. I'm not a sci-fi person either. Like I rarely read sci-fi books. I probably have read like three in my entire life, but it's really good. You should give it a shot. It's kind of weird. You'll know whether you like it or not probably after the first chapter or so.
Okay. Yeah. And I think probably the majority of the books that I've read have been sci-fi in the last little bit. So maybe I should check it out.
Dude, that's like the most famous sci-fi book of all time. You've never read it.
That's what people said. Here's an embarrassing thing. I never even heard of it until the movie came out. So wow. I'm like, and it came out in the early 2000s, right?
Well, the first one did, but then they just had a remake of it like 2 years ago.
Right.
Like the one that came out 20 years ago sucked. Like Sting is in there, the music guy. And okay. It's not good.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know about the earlier one, but I mean the book version. Anyway, the point is it wasn't on my radar. And when too many people talk about something and they're a little too excited, I'm like, I don't know. I'll wait and see if this has like some longevity, but I didn't know the history behind it. So, okay. Last one I'll mention here is a show called Corporate. And I think it was originally on the Comedy Channel, but I found it on Paramount Plus and it's hilarious. It's sort of like 2.0 of Office Space, of like the nonsense of working in a corporate environment and so many relatable things from working in the corporate environment, and hilarious, very dark, quite dark, but hilarious.
Nice.
Have you heard of that one at all?
I have not. And yeah. I'm sorry, what's it? Oh, that's on Paramount Plus as well.
Yep, Paramount Plus. Cool. Everything's on Amazon, Paramount Plus. And what's up with Amazon putting commercials here in the last week? Have you run across that yet?
No, I haven't paid attention to that. They have commercials on their shows, even if you're a Prime subscriber or whatever.
They added it. Yep. Okay. So they snuck that in. I think you can get rid of it for like $3 a month.
Okay. It's super annoying what's become of all these streaming services. They've basically turned into what cable was when we were kids, where you had to subscribe to like 50 different things if you wanted everything. And now it's kind of the same shit. HBO Max, Paramount Plus, Amazon, yeah. Netflix. What the hell?
And I think, I mean, the good part is there's so much on any one platform. So like we're just watching what we have right now. And then when that's up, because usually I think we sign up for a year, then we'll like switch to another one and, you know, check them out. But
Yeah, it is cool. It's a great time to watch TV. Like, we're in the golden age. I remember as a kid, we had like five channels, like NBC, ABC, CBS, PBS, and like channel 32, WFLD. I don't even know. Fox.
And yeah, now it's like unlimited, and then we could watch like anything we want on YouTube, basically.
Man, I remember being sick home from school, and the only thing on was like, I Love Lucy, and that show sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, anything else before we wrap it?
I think that's it.
All right, thanks again to Ghostbed, and be sure to check in for the upcoming episode on fitness and health. We have a little update.
Cool.
Thanks for listening to the show. That was the Mile High Five podcast, and I'm Doug Cunnington, the Balder host, and Carl Jensen is the cool, sexy one. If you dig the show, please do three things for us. Number one, tell a friend, a family member, an enemy about the show. We really don't care who you tell. Maybe forward them a specific show that you know that they will like. It's the single most helpful thing that you can do to spread the word. It's like giving us a virtual high five, and actually we don't give high fives in person, so the virtual kind's pretty good. And more importantly, your friend or family member or even your enemy will appreciate the fact that you were thinking of them. Number two, make sure you're following or subscribed on your podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, YouTube, whatever you're using, and that way you won't miss a show. And number three, please leave us a rating and review. We read them on the show occasionally, and you might hear yours out there on an upcoming episode. Quick disclaimer, this show is not financial or legal advice. I'd actually be surprised if it sounded like it. It's really just for entertainment, and that's at least what we're hoping for. But seriously, get advice from professionals. Carl and I are just two guys with microphones that sit in my basement and talk. So we'll catch y'all next week. All right, Carl, we're getting started a little late today. What was going on your end?
Yes, we are, Doug. I had a little bit of a adventure this afternoon. I was preparing to come over here. We have a rental house, and I was getting it ready for a tenant. So I go over there, open the garage door, walk in, and there is a river of water flowing through my garage floor. So I'm like, oh, shit, what the hell is this? And the first thing you think when you see something like that is something went wrong with the plumbing of the house. So I ran around all the rooms, made sure it had nothing to do with that. And then we had an old washing machine in the garage. So I thought, hey, this is a lot of water. It seems like too much to have spilled out of a washing machine, but maybe I left water in there and it froze up. We've had a cold spell recently and now the water is coming out. I tipped that over. I couldn't see anything there. And then I finally figured out that one of my gutters, despite cleaning them at the end of fall, had filled up and overflowed, and the water had landed in a certain place in the yard and worked its way underneath the wall of the garage and into the garage. So not fun.
Okay. But not a huge problem. You just got to clean the gutters or whatever.
Exactly. Super easy. There's a mess on the side of the house now that I have to clean up, but that is the best solution you could ask for.
Gotcha. And it like overflowed and just like ran down the house or whatever.
Yes. Siding. Yep. It ran down the house, flooded the yard, which was right next to the garage wall, and then worked its way into the garage.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah. And luckily it was pretty flexible and you figured it out pretty quick. Like once you started investigating.
Yes. And I'll say shout out to house drainage, which is very important. Clean your gutters and get the water away from the foundation of the house.
A cool thing, this is a newer house. So like the yard was graded properly. Of course, like the landscapers came in and like leveled things out, but it was like a pretty sharp decline away from the house to like pull the water away. And then on all of our gutters, we have, of course, if they get clogged up or whatever, it would still run this down the side of the house. But we have like the gutters that like come down with a, I don't know, maybe like 3 or 4 feet. So it like pushes the water like further away from the house, which is helpful. So do you have those long gutters too?
Yes, we do. And I always install those in any house if it doesn't already have it.
Cool. This is a less fun, sound check, huh?
I know.
Usually people are like, oh yeah, the sound checks are hilarious.
I know. The sound check sucks, Doug. I thought you would have riffed on the drainage thing, like tied it back to like pee or something like that, like keep the drainage away. It would have been a long, that's a stretch for you, but I thought you could have done it, but I didn't tell you about that ahead of time. It's okay, Doug.
That's all right. Yeah. Well, and literally it was like, oh, I wonder what was going on with that thing. Well, let's talk about the, like flipping the house to rent it. Was there a lot of work to do to get it ready?
No, not really. The previous people hired a professional cleaner to clean up after themselves. So pretty much nothing at all. Yeah, maybe a couple things just to go in there and vacuum again because it's been vacant for a little while. But yeah, not so bad. I just want to make sure it's ready for the next people. I have to write a house guide. Like you've got a guide whenever you rent an Airbnb. And I never did that for the first people who rented because it came up too fast. So that's probably the only real thing I have to do. And I like to reset the code on the door to the people's phone number so it's easy for them to get in and out. But I think other than that, it's, yeah, nothing else really.
How long are they going to be in there? Do you know?
They will be in there for a month and a half. And then we haven't rented for the summer as well.
Okay, cool. So yeah. You're set for a lot of the year.
Yeah, August 1st, it'll become available if anyone's looking for a monthly rental in Longmont. It's nice.